It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and it's so good to have you on the program today listening. I believe God has a great word for us today. I'm reading today from Jeremiah chapter 23, great prophet from the Old Testament. He said in verse 5, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Now, God brought Jeremiah on the scene when Israel had rebelled against God. Jeremiah gave some very unpopular prophecies that God was going to take Israel captive. He was going to take them to the Babylonians, and it was not a popular message. He was imprisoned. He went through a lot of heartache in his life to be the vessel that God used him to be, to deliver his message to the Jews. But here Jeremiah gives a prophecy in verse 6 that reveals one of the names of God. He says, "In his days Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." In Hebrew, it's Jehovah Tsidkenu. Now, you might say, "Keith, why does God have many names? His name is Jehovah Shalom. You know, he's the Prince of Peace. Jehovah Rapha, he's the God who heals." All these various names that God revealed himself. And you say, why does he have so many names? Let me give you an example. My name is Keith. Most people know me in my church as Pastor Keith. My wife knows me as Husband, and my children know me as Father. You see, I'm a different name depending on the relationship. Among all the names ascribed to God, there is none more precious to me than this name that was revealed by Jeremiah, and that is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the God of righteousness. God, my righteousness. Now, before we can understand this revelation of God, we need to understand what it means to be righteous. Righteousness, literally, the definition in the dictionary will say morally upright, without guilt or sin. Some synonyms of this word is like blameless, guiltless, holy, innocent. Here in Jeremiah, when God revealed himself by that name through his prophet, the people were anything but righteous. As a matter of fact, they were in the process of being hauled off into exile and captivity because of their constant, long-standing sin of idolatry and unfaithfulness to God. The word righteousness is kind of a religious word, and I think sometimes we don't quite understand it. The best way I can really define the word righteousness is to say it's like having a clean slate with God, where he sees you absolutely perfect. You say, nobody's perfect, Keith. And yet Jesus exhorts us in Matthew 5:48, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, before you think I'm demanding that you become this perfect person, let me tell you that that perfection and that righteousness is a free gift from God. We receive it because we have faith in him and what Jesus did on the cross. Now, while you might be thinking, "Keith, I can never attain that perfection," let me tell you, the Bible prophesies here in Jeremiah that the day is coming when we will call God Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Are you trusting in your righteousness today? How good are you and how perfect can you be? Or are you trusting in what Jesus did for you on the cross? In Matthew chapter 19, there's a story that has always intrigued me. It's the story of the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus. It says in verse 16 of Matthew 19, "Now a man came up to Jesus and he asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?'" See, it amazes me that so many people today believe that eternal life is based on doing a good thing. It's based on works, but it's not, friend. And then Jesus replies to him in verse 17 and says, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." Now look how the man replies. "Which ones?" the man inquired. Why did he say that, friend? Because I think all of us know there's some we keep and some we fail at miserably. Now, Jesus knew this man better than he knew himself. So Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." Now look at what the man says in verse 20. "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" You see, friend, before we come to Jesus Christ and receive him as our Savior, there's something inside of us that lets us know we're lacking something, no matter how good we are. I grew up in church most of my life and never did the things that many people would do, didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't do all these things. And yet I felt like I was going to hell all the time. Religion was not enough for me. It wasn't until one day God revealed his grace to me, and it was like pouring healing oil all over my body. When I came to the understanding that God's love for me was not based on my performance, but the performance of Jesus on the cross, it changed my life. So Jesus answered this man and said, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." See, Jesus knew the very thing the man was lacking. See, he was trusting in his riches. He was clinging to his possessions, and it was tearing him apart. When the young man heard this, the Bible says he went away sad because he had great wealth. I would venture to say that he didn't have great wealth. Great wealth had him. It's one thing to have possessions, but it's another thing for the possessions to have you. You know, friend, about 17 years ago, I became friends with a man who was a billionaire. He had everything this world could offer him. And we became friends, and one day, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer at the age of 50. And doctors gave him just months to live. I'll never forget when he called me up on the phone, and he said, "Keith, I have a biopsy tomorrow at the hospital. Can you meet me there?" I met him at the hospital, and then he says to me, he says, "Keith, I don't know God. I don't know anything about God. Can you help me?" You know, the next day I was able to lead this man into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I saw his life transformed and changed those last few months of his life when he realized that all that wealth could do nothing for him, but his relationship with God would determine his eternal destiny. Friend, this man had great wealth, but he comes to Jesus knowing he's still lacking something. And he says, "What do I still lack?" Jesus knew his heart, and he said, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give them to the poor." The Apostle Paul told us that if righteousness could be obtained through the law, Christ died for nothing. You see, the Jews were given the law not to make them perfect, but to show them their lack of perfection and how much they needed God's help. Your Old Testament has 613 laws that God gave to Israel. And he points this out in James chapter 2 and verse 10. He says, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." See, that was the rich man's problem in Matthew 19. He kept most of it, but it wasn't enough. Maybe you're thinking today, "Keith, I've done so much to be a good person, but I don't really have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't really know where I'm going to spend eternity." Today was meant for you, my friend. I want you to know your eternal destiny is totally dependent upon you believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for your sins. See, so many today want to establish their own form of righteousness, to be good enough in their flesh. But the Bible says this in Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." See, when we try and create our own standard with God, he says it's not enough. You see, the Bible teaches us that Jesus exchanged coats with us. He took our coat of filthy rags and he gave us his coat of righteousness. I'm not talking about religion today. I'm talking about a relationship with your Creator. Religion is man's attempt to reach God, but righteousness is God's attempt to reach you. That's what he does through grace. God reaches you where you are at. John chapter 3 tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the good news of Jehovah Tsidkenu. It's the revelation that God is my righteousness, that what I lack, he gave me in Christ. See, Romans chapter 10 and verse 4 says this. It says, Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. God is not going to let me in heaven because I'm a good person. He's going to let me in heaven because Jesus paid for all of my sin. Paul says in Galatians 2:21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. And he said in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. We're talking today about Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul? When he was Saul of Tarsus, he persecuted Christians. He went around persecuting them and having his own form of righteousness under the law. And then one day, God reveals himself to him. He said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now look what Paul says later in Philippians chapter 3, after he had this life-changing encounter with Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He says in verse 8, what is more, Philippians 3, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. See, Paul said, it's not enough to have my own righteousness that comes from doing the law, but I want that righteousness that comes by faith. Do you know, friend, it takes faith to believe that God makes you righteous, because we know that in our own flesh, we're never good enough. But God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. I call it the great exchange. God took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. Now, in closing today, what does Jehovah Tsidkenu mean to me? That name of God, what does it mean to me? It means that God became for me something I could not become in myself. He gave me a right standing with him through faith in him, the gift of eternal life and a position of being in a right standing with God. He mended my relationship with himself through his own Son and Christ's death upon the cross. Talking today about that great name for God that Jeremiah the prophet revealed when he called him Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, my righteousness. Hey, I so appreciate you joining me today on the program. I want you to drop me a note at go to weneedgod.com and email me. My name, keithmanley@me.com. I would love to hear from you. Walk in grace.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he he makes his mercies new every morning.